Sunday morning, the 22nd of August, 1971. Cookie and his father and his brother-in-law. Channel 1 right, beginning of the visit with Cookie and his father and brother-in-law this Sunday morning, the 22nd of August, 1971. The second visit is about dark, and it starts around 500 on this Channel 1 right. Channel 1 right, in continuation of the visit, beginning of the visit with Cookie and his father and his brother-in-law this Sunday morning, the 22nd of August, 1971. Channel 1 right, and the beginning of the visit with Cookie and his father and his brother-in-law in the kitchen this Sunday morning, the 22nd of August, 1971. The second visit was about dark with Cookie and his father.
Where'd he learn to drink so much? Yeah, I'll sit down in a minute. Come on in, sit down here.
Don't sit down. Come on, sit down.
We might find something else here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
I was just going to tell you it's probably a little cooler outdoors than indoors than it was outdoors right now.
It is. Well, this is my son-in-law, my next oldest daughter.
Okay.
Down we have five daughters and five boys and five son-in-laws and five daughter-in-laws.
Is that right?
And we were just part of them all.
Well, we're glad to see you. It's sort of a sad occasion, but we're still glad to see you.
That's right. I didn't want to go back. Son-in-law thinks he ought to start back tonight. And I don't want to hold him up. Appreciate enough him sacrificing his time and his job to bring me.
Yes.
So I'm with him.
Oh, you all drove down?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah.
They left Friday night and drove all night Friday night and got in home yesterday. And I just got in home behind them from going and taking care of my chores up in Gainesville. And I was give out.
Yeah.
I come down here and we got some mowing machines going yesterday morning, and then I had to go to Gainesville, and then I had to leave Gainesville and go to Ocala, and
had to go to Ocala?
I had to go from Gainesville to Ocala. And I was all over the country before I got back home.
Yeah. Goodness. Well, you all had a long trip.
We probably did go out of our way a little bit. We drove mostly on the interstate, and that is a little longer going that way.
Yeah.
And actually, I believe, Mr. Miles, I believe it tells you worse than it does on the common road. For you just sat there, my daughter just sat there and drove and she just got so tired. You don't use the brakes, you don't turn your wheel, you just sat there, drove.
Yeah.
So I'd rather drive on common roads, just drive on them interstates.
I would. I can tell you what I can do. I can leave home, me and him can leave home the same time. I can let them go start back the way they come, and I'll take up through the woods, and I'll be home before he gets to Concord, North Carolina.
Now, my son-in-law and daughter, my wife, mom, as I call her, was tired out. And I was too, but I laid down on the bed and didn't go to sleep. My wife come in. I dozed off a little in a nap, cat nap. So she woke me up, she kissed me on the cheek, laying with my back face to bed, and that woke me up, and she said, "Get up for supper." Said, "I thought I'd get you before you went to sleep."
Yeah.
And I got up, and actually, I hadn't laid there over 30 minutes. And I was rested. I was in far better shape than I was when I left home to start down here.
After riding over about 1,000 miles.
I was sick. I was sick. I have trouble with my stomach. And when I left home, got in the car, down to his place. And when I got in his car and started up the river, starting down here. Now this may sound funny to you. May sound funny to him, may sound funny to him. But this is the truth. I just whispered a little prayer and I said, Lord, help me to make this trip. And sure as I'm sitting here, my stomach was bothering me. I'd been bothered with pains for going on 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And when I got in there, I didn't have no pain. Got up and I ate a good supper. Helen had a good supper. Had a good supper. Went up out of the funeral home last night, seen my brother, and I felt better. And I still feel better than I did when I left home.
Let me tell you, Fee's daddy could get in that old Nash of his and start in West Tennessee and go clear across that long state to East Tennessee. And he'd get out, and all he'd do is just sort of shake his legs out. And he never would let on that he was tired at all.
What? Just coke and gas. Yes, I said I didn't wouldn't drink any, but I do want.
Good.
I feel like I'm at home.
Well, I come down here and I just make myself at home.
I'll get you out of my jury.
You want a cup of coffee?
Yeah. Mr. Mom, I'll tell you what I told Mrs.
No dreaming,
yeah. Mine. I feel like I know you all. I've heard a lot about you. You know where all that stuff is.
There's some up there you don't have to gouge out.
It's like she says, well, she says, I hope it's been good. Well, it has. It's been so. That's why I feel home.
Yeah.
And I hollered to the horses. That done me a lot of good, too. I hollered, come here, babe, and she nickled right now. She did.
She knew you.
I tell you what I done, Mr. Miles. Back when the kids was all at home, I always liked horses, and I started out the teaming in the oil field as long as they used teams to haul the oil machinery.
Put it up here where you can reach it.
Well, that's what I say.
That's all right.
Get right there.
Now I'll just help myself.
Yeah.
So, but I'll go ahead and talk, and I like to talk.
Well, you got a lot of time to put in. We haven't heard much from you.
I got hard up, and the oil field shut down when the trucks come in. Why, that threw my job off the times had outgrown my job with the team, you see.
Yeah.
So I sold one of my horses and kept the one I thought the most of. And I traded him off when he was 13 years old, got him when he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Broke him. Traded him off when he was 13 years old and he was gone 4 years and 11 months. And I told the man I'd let have him when I let him have him. I said, now whenever you get tired of him, bring him back, I'll trade for him back. Well, they used him in a horse-drawn mowing machine, and they didn't know how to take care of a horse, and they'd hurt the top of his neck and give him fist low almost. Had the worst sore neck I ever saw when they brought him back. Well, I got him back for nearly nothing. When I went to turn him out, the boy that brought him back said, oh, Mr. Cook, don't turn him out. Said, me and you can't get in the barn. I looked at him, I said, what's wrong? Leo, his king boy, and Leo was his name. I said, what's wrong, Leo? Why, he said he took me and my dad and the other four boys to get him in the barn. Well, I said, the horse had more sense than you fellas did. And I just turned him loose and he went off out up in the bottom. First from here to where the horses is, out yonder, Leo's horse. And It went to come up a storm that evening. When it went to go, I said to Leo, we was up at the house talking. I said, well, we better go put that horse up before it rains. Went out, and as I went down the walk in front of my place, I hollered to him. I said, come here, Mort. Mort was his name. I named him after the man I got him off of. So Mort just raised his head up and looked. Now, that's all I said. I said, come here, Mort. He just raised his head up and looked. Nickel to me and started down through the bottom. He walked up about 20 feet of the barn, and he seen this king boy down there. And I told him, I said, you stand back. And I said to him, I said, get on in here, Mort. He just turned and walked in as orderly as a boy in that barn, and that's all I had to say to him to get him in the barn. I said, now you see, Leo, I told you the horse had more sense than you fellas did. Just beat him the worst. And it's like I told Junior out there, I said, the reason some people can't get along with horses has got more sense than
they have.
Now, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You'd hang around here, Tommy.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to, but, and we may get in shape.
Well, let me tell you, one of my friends over here was talking about when she was growing up, and this was up in Georgia, and she's out riding all that country, it was woods, and her daddy told her, he says, now if you get lost, don't try to tell that horse which way to come home.
Well, now, he told her the truth.
Yes.
He told her the truth.
I can take old babe or ride either one. You get out here in these woods and get lost, just turn their head loose, follow their head, and they'll come back.
Yeah, yes, they'll do it.
Yeah.
I got aggravated at my youngest boy. I'd broke a 4-year-old mare to ride and to work that I got like somewhere after I left. Well, before. Well, after Leo said he wanted these horses, I traded for this 4-year-old mare. And she had never had a hold on. Well, I broke her to ride and to work last winter. And I put the saddle on her, and Larry got on her. And I don't know what that boy done. That was the youngest boy. She went in the air, and I never seen a bronco. Buck harder. And she wearied 3 times, and I held to her a bit to try to get her quieting down. And the 3rd time, she hit me right here. Right on that top muscle.
Yeah?
That's when the first knocked your arm out of whack.
No, my arm had been out of whack, Leo, but that there, that was back from here to here.
Yeah.
And as true as I'm sitting here, Mr. Miles, if I never get up off of this chair when that got well up here, that shoulder, I couldn't put it up this way.
Yeah.
See here?
Well, how long has that been?
Oh, 2 months ago.
God almighty.
Been 3 months ago.
Well, maybe it has. Maybe it has. But now that's done something to that. That was in this shoulder, muscle, and elbow here. I laid it to be in arthritis, but I don't know what it was. Now that might sound funny. I couldn't do that. And like I told Leo, I couldn't put the harness on them horses.
No.
That he brought down here. I couldn't put them heavy harness on.
That big harness, you know, that I first...
On account of my right arm being weak.
Yeah.
But now, hits as good as my left arm now. After that mare hit me here, and I don't know what. But I'll go ahead with my story. Now, what happened there, I don't know. Me or the boy won since the back girth too tight, and she went in the air. And she knew it wasn't me. I'd rode her with the saddle, I'd rode her bareback. And... the boy, hit went
just
down.
Just get a little hot water going is all I said to you.
And why she went now, I don't know. And the man I sold her to, I told him all about what had happened. Now I said, that's why I'm selling.
Yeah.
And he said, she's a well-broke animal to work. I said, no, sir. I don't say you can work her, but I can. If you want me to show you, I'll show you what I can do. Now I said, The boy, when he got on her, was the first fellow that ever been on her with me. And she went in there, and I don't know whether she knew or whether he'd done something or kicked her new ribs or something. But what I'm driving up to is the little mare that Leo brought up there to me. I can ride her any horse. The kids can ride her any horse. And Larry got on her, and I hope whenever she'd have rallied up and I fell backwards with him if I hadn't pulled her down. So now, he's my youngest boy, but I ain't going to let him fool with her. I don't want her spoiled like my black mare got. I got afraid of her.
Yeah.
And the man that I sold her to has just got here in the last week or two that he can put the saddle on this black mare and ride her. I told him what had happened. Now, I said, she's afraid of that saddle. I said, I won't get on her with it. She went, if she'd go in there with me like she did that boy, why, she'd buck me off and maybe hurt me bad.
Well,
and I said, I ain't going to let her do it. That's why I'm selling her.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give her to you. That was before he even asked me the question. So he said to me, he said, now, Mr. Cook, he said, tell me just the least dime. Well, I'd like to ask $250. But when he said, tell me the least dime of buyer, I'd made up my mind I was going to sell it for $200 if I could.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, you got me foul, Mr. Fields. I said, I'm going to just tell you exactly what it takes to buy the man. Well, all right, he said, that's what I want to know. I said, $200. He said, will you let the halter go with her? I said, no. No, I won't let her strap go.
Before I get my hard head.
See it right away.
Well, now, you've got to be, like I told him coming out, I lived to be 50 years old before I had sense enough to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And try to live.
Yeah. That's an odd thing, isn't it?
Now it is. A lot of people don't understand it.
Well, you can't afford to quit living now, you see, when you get that much sense.
That's true. And you've got to be... Really,
if you'd had that much all along, that'd been something, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I could have raised these 10 children easier, maybe.
Yeah.
So, Well, I'll quit talking. I'm doing all the talking and letting you fellas.
Well,
but I'm really enjoying it.
Well, now, they are two of the prettiest horses I ever saw. And they're workhorses.
That's right.
You see, the only horses we have out here, just leave it there. I'll put it over that farm. Only horses we have down here, those saddle horses. Well, now, when I was coming up, we never had saddle horses. We just sort of rode bareback an old workhorse.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I didn't know what a saddle horse was. Why, when I first heard them talking about you got a left lead and a right lead and all like that.
Didn't know what it was.
Why, just mystifying.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, that's not any sort of talk that I ever heard. But they do ride well with it. But these horses ride.
Yes.
They're good riding horses.
Yes. Well, now, I'll tell you a little incident that happened. That toy mare. When she was 3 years old. Your dad knows it. And he told me. He said, I don't want to feed the mare. I let Mr. Wayne have her to make molasses. He wanted. I had the mammy of these two horses there. She'd work anywhere. The kids broke her, and they could do more with her than I could. I was having to work away then. And I took her on the mountain, and Leo was the fellow that I turned her over to. She was a 2-year-old, and I was sowing oats in the spring, and I was working away, and I plowed a few rounds with her. I was plowing the oats in. We have hill land up there, and we couldn't use a tractor, we couldn't use level ground plow, we had to use shovel plow. So I showed Leo what to do, and I said, now you sow these oats and wake this man right, be good to her. And the kids went ahead from there, I took her to a 2-year-old and went ahead from there. But I'll get back to old Babe out here. Mr. Wayne wanted her, said that'll be a fine place in the cane mill to wake her. And Junior's daddy here was feeding the mill for him. And I was hooked up till I couldn't be up there and help. By Mr. Wayne wanting the coal, I thought it would be a good place. But now, they would run out, and his daddy told me, he said, now, I don't want to take old Babe back up, little Babe. I called her. He said, I want to get old Babe. He said, I don't want to take little Babe. He said, they were going to spoil her up. They'd go out and hit her if she'd stop. And they got her till she'd just well in the air as high as she could go. Hitting her, you see.
Lungs.
And lungs.
Oh, yeah.
Just come off on the other one. Well, if he hadn't have been, I'd have let him tuck her back up there. If his daddy hadn't have been up there and have come down and told me, they'd have waked that man. So, like I said, it just boils down to the people that was running around. Now, his daddy was feeding the mill. He was saddled. He couldn't do nothing. And if she stopped around, and a horse would learn that, they'd stop around from the fit man that's feeding what to do.
Yeah.
And they'd run up and hit her with the cane stalk.
Mm-hmm. Blind by long, she couldn't see.
So when she'd raise in the air, when she'd go to go, she'd want to rest, stop and rest a little bit. And then somebody run up and hit her, but she'd go in there. And his daddy told me, said, now, I don't want to take her up there, I don't want to feed the mill, said it'll spoil her. Said they're going to spoil her. So I appreciated it in the sense of old matter. And she'd go to, she got tired and she'd stop, and if they hit her, why, she'd just still stand there. There she wanted to
That's
go.
That's Hubie.
That's the way my cows do.
Yeah.
They all move. You had, when did you have to give up your horses up there?
How long's been, Junior?
World War II?
How? No, no. It's later than that. Later than that. We've had the tractor 7 years, ain't we?
Chief, you got that tractor, Daddy, in January.
Before.
After I come down here in October.
Well, I know we got it off of my brother over here. That's over in the funeral home now. And why I give up my horses when I did, Mr. Miles, this is the truth. I wasn't able, didn't have the means to buy the tractor machine. And me and my son-in-law there, he was one, he joined the farm. And I told him, I said, we can buy that tractor. And he had some cows. And I said, I can take the first up to 5 heads of cows. I said, I can pay for that tractor with them cows in the cave. And the outfit. We got, I don't know what it was, $4,300 worth of stuff that my brother had paid for it when it was new. So we bought it off of him when he come to Florida.
Oh.
And now, and then in the meantime, we bought a new baler.
Uh-huh.
Paid $1,995 for it. And we're going to pay the last $250 on that baler after the 7th of October when I sell the cash.
Yeah.
Now that's the way we went into the machinery business. He wasn't able to buy it himself. I wasn't able to buy it myself. Wasn't none of the kids lived out close enough that had that was in shape to buy it. You see the point?
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
It's too
much. Well, now you held out a good while.
Yeah.
You held out as long as you was up to it.
It
took a little bit more energy than you had left.
Yes, that's true. Well, the tractor business is quicker than the horse. That's the worst I had against the horse pal.
Yeah.
And
is there anything you can do better with a horse now than you can with a tractor?
Well, Let's just put it this way. If it wasn't for being so slow, I could get more satisfaction out of working a pair of horses like Dave and Rowdy out here in my hayfield and the kind of tractor.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Personal satisfaction.
I could get more satisfaction out of it.
Yeah.
The tractor is faster and easier on me.
Yeah.
Understand that.
And on the other hand, in some cases, a lot more dangerous.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid of it. Yeah. I'm afraid of it.
Tractor can't talk to you either, can it?
No. No, that's true. But horses can make you understand if you've got a little bit of sense.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, now, I'm enjoying myself, enjoying meeting you, but I want to get over to the funeral home. I've got a sister who lives in Akron, and she hasn't made it in yet. And I want to get over there, and Junior thinks he ought to start back tonight to get back to his job, and I don't want to hold him up.
Well, let me tell you, you got to go back there and over there and see the cows, and he got to look at this tractor. The tractor stopped yesterday.
Which one?
The big one.
Okay.
Now,
what did it do?
Heretofore, I've been able to nurse it long. Well, it stopped. It started that coming and going, you see. And I'd give it, just like the line was a little bit fouled up, and I'd give it a little choke, and it'll work out of it.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out of it.
Got dirt in it, just like ours.
Oh.
He had the same trouble. In his grace, they spliced with.
And I've got this hay down, and I would have put down some more this morning. This is hay weather. This is the first hay weather we've had the whole summer. It's been raining,
well,
and we haven't had any sun to cure it.
Well, he took his vacation. His grass was cut before mine, and his grass almost forked clover did, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But the rain kept us from doing anything in it. We've been hit the same way.
This past week.
And he finished his up
early spring,
Friday, so. Thursday, and went back to work Friday morning.
Yeah.
And spent all of his vacation, and that's why I don't want to hold him up and keep him away from his job. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, I appreciate the
thanks for the coffee.
Wish we had longer for you to stay.
Yes, I wish you could stay longer. If I can get shed of my stuff so I won't have to go back, I'd like to come down and spend the month.
I wish you'd do that.
The woman wants to come. She would tell what we had up there and move down.
Oh.
Well, now. Personally, I just have to be honest
with
myself. I don't like
it. It isn't always this hot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not hot, it's something else.
I tell you what, if you ever get so you can, Miss Moss, come up to the
We know about that place you have there. Your grandchildren think it's just heaven.
Now that's the end of the first session in the morning in the kitchen, and now it starts up at the second session after supper with Leo and his father, and this is the end of the first session. We go out to look at the cattle, and then the second session starts after supper, and right in here is the end of the first session, Sunday morning. We didn't even really expect to see them back again. And then the beginning of the second session, after supper. This is the end of the first session, Sunday morning, and then the beginning of the second session, after supper. You'd had enough travel for one day, I'd think.
Well,
You needed a little break.
Yes, but you know, don't get to see the boy very much, and that girl, that Alice, that she didn't suit her without she come with me.
Yeah. Good evening.
Good afternoon.
This is a great surprise. I didn't count on this.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been talking and trying to get them together for about an hour and a half, guys.
Yeah, it's hard to do. There's so much they got it on their mind. Sit down there.
Yes, that's true. It was such an unexpected trip.
Yeah.
That we just, we just don't know what we are going to do. I want to please my son-in-law. You know what? I don't want to discomfit him about his work, getting back to his work. So,
no.
It's up to him. Hey, Mom wanted me to say we'll go tonight or we'll go in the morning. I said, now, I've done told them I wasn't going to. Whenever they wanted to go, I was ready.
Yes. Yes, sir. You have to be with the crowd.
Well, here, when you I'm sort of like a hitchhiker. Wasn't able to make the trip myself.
Yeah.
By myself in the car, and the boy was good enough to quit his work and come and bring us. So I'm good enough to. I'm glad to be good enough.
Pull your chair up just a little bit, Mr. Cook. I can't hear you too good over there.
Oh.
My hearing is not what it was back in the good old days.
Well, mine's the same way.
Yeah.
It's just pretty much, I'm pretty hard of hearing in my right ear.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I don't like to go around talking about my infirmities, but I'm conscious of them, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, that's me. I always say this in talking, and the fellow's just as old as he thinks he is.
Yes, sir.
And you can just hop up and you can be past gone before you know.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
You can talk yourself into the bed, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Yes. That's true. You can talk yourself into the bed. So I try to. When I say anything about my age, or anybody else says anything about my age, I tell them that I try to not pay attention to that. A fellow's just as old as he thinks he is.
Let me tell you, I've been thinking about that since you was here this morning. How'd he learn to do so many confounded things?
Did he
take after you?
No. I'll have to put it this way. They maybe took more after the mother. Now we've got five boys.
Yeah.
And they just about any of them, and all of them's like he is. And they was trained. You know what I mean? We trained them to work, both of us. We had to work to make a living. And they'd go out and work if I was there. And if I wasn't there and tell them what to do, they would still go out and work.
Yes.
And the mother, I can't get her to quit working now.
Yeah. She won't let up?
No, she won't. So.
Well.
Mr. Dougal, I believe it is.
Miles.
Excuse me for, you know, I'm forgetting. I tell you, you mentioned about the boys. They're all pretty well, they're not as good mechanical-wise as he is.
Yeah.
But they can do a little mechanic work.
Yeah.
And they can, anything they set their head to do, they can do.
Yeah. Well, now you see down here, he can operate any of this machinery, this farm machinery. He can beat these old Florida crackers. He can take their own stuff and do it better than they can do it, see?
Yeah.
The mowers and the tractors and all like that.
Yeah.
And stuff he never operated.
Yeah. Well, now this daughter in here, of course, is the next oldest one. She'll get on the hayway, rake hay. She'll get on the haystack and stack hay.
Oh, really?
They all would. Had to when we was raising them up.
They learned how when they were growing up.
Maybe Leo, this is right before we. I'm going to tell you a little incident that happened one time.
Tell me about it.
I left him to plant corn, had some corn ground plowed, or for it all.
Yeah.
Plowed, for it all. And I left him to plant it.
Yeah.
He was a good hand, but his grandfather lived down on the adjoining place. Well, now, this shows you what children will do that you don't want them to do.
Yeah.
He'd learned to smoke and kept it away from me.
Yeah.
And he went down, back on the hill planting corn, and he went to tuck a notion for a cigarette. Got to wanting a cigarette so bad that he went off the hill down his grandfather's all road, his grandfather's field and our field joined, just like this crack here in this table.
Yeah.
And he went out through his grandfather's field and down and got some cigarettes off of him down there, and it come up a hard rain, and he went back and tried to plant that corn in the mud.
And how old was he then?
I just don't remember. I'd say about 12.
Oh, that young, that early.
Well, they worked from the time they was 8.
Yeah.
Had to, Mr. Doug. I'm calling you, Mr. Miles. So, I'd say about 12. What did you?
I'll tell you in a minute how old he was.
He remembered.
Yeah.
Now, I could see he ever paint a hole where he'd stuck down. And he done the awful job of trying to paint that. I finally come off of here. I don't think he got it quite done, did you?
I like 3 rows.
And he said he got so wet I just couldn't finish.
I like 3 rows.
But
and I was 11 years old.
Done a good job up until the rain rained him out. If he'd have stayed and planted the corn while he went off to get the cigarettes, he could have got it done and went and got his cigarettes then, and I wouldn't have never knew it.
Let me tell you, Mister, that would catch us all, wouldn't it?
Yes, when we was young.
About all I liked to have in this hay in was about an hour, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll wait till the rain come up.
This evening?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we didn't get it done.
That's one thing, Mr. Miles, that we can't control is the weather.
Yeah.
If we could, we might have it in an awful fix, Mike.
We sure might. Yes, sir.
That was the year that you put old Babe in the barn when she was 6 months old. old days.
Yeah. Well, there was so many things happened. But that one, I'll never forget it.
You remember that?
Yes. Now, I told him, I tell you what I told him. They were good to work. And it really hurt me in a way. Wasn't really able to buy his tobacco. But I told him, I said, if you will smoke, you don't slip around and get it. Own up to it and tell me and we'll buy it.
Yeah.
See the point?
That's hard on the boys, though. They, you know, a lot of things they just can't come out with, mister. Isn't that curious?
Oh, yes. I'm 72 years old, and I can remember when I was a lad, and I done a lot of things and tried to keep it from my father and mother.
Yeah.
That they didn't endorse. You see the point?
Oh, yes. Yes.
We can all remember back our boyhood days, can't we?
Yes.
That was the year that Grandpa had that field of wheat.
And old Babe run in the wheat.
That's right.
And took the scours. And come putting it down. The wheat, when it would come into maturity enough, it give her the scours.
Yeah.
We was plowing corn right up to the wheat field.
Yeah.
That was
you're right, you brought that to my mind. That's another thing I'd forgot. And she took the scours, the white scours, and that's the worst in stalk.
Oh, is it?
Yes, sir.
Now, put her in the barn and started feeding her nothing but cornmeal.
Oh?
Cornmeal and water. And in less than 2 weeks, she was jumping and kicking the wall.
Place.
Yeah.
That's why.
We'll forget that.
Well, now you didn't have any medicine for scours.
No.
Now you see that them shots just ruin you, don't they? Just spoil you. You see, my animals have scours, and I just call the vet up and say, "What kind of pill will I give them?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what we do up there, we have a Southern State store. The main. It originated the Southern States.
I know the Southern States. One of the fellas in that's one of my friends up there, Bill Gary, over there at Moorhead.
Moorhead, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, this is at Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
The main headquarters is.
Yeah.
Main.
So,
we go to our Southern State store, and
yeah. The
manager. He's a young man, but he's been there long enough till I go in and tell him what I want.
Yeah.
And he pretty well knows right square where to go to.
Yes, sir.
It's owned by the farmers in Clay County.
Yeah. Oh, that's great help.
Yes, it is. And if we need anything in the...
You can't beat that. There's nothing down here to take place of that cookie that I've seen.
No. That's what I was telling you, I think it was some time ago, that back up home it was a lot different than it is down here.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a veterinary, Mr. Miles, clean over in another county, Calhoun County. The only veterinary I know of in that country. He's a graduate. And a good veterinary, but he awful high price. They no other vet around, and he just sets his price, and people have to pay.
Well, I noticed that the livestock people will send a big ton and a half truck out here to get a load of cattle. And they'll load them for you and take them in for $15.
Mm-hmm.
The vet comes out here and stays 5 or 10, 15 minutes, and he charges you $25, and he drives a high-speed car.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, now, That brought another thing to my mind, this rowdy horse, yeah, that Leo's got. When I had him castrated as a 3-year-old, I seen this Dr. Kane over at Spencer at the livestock market. I said to him, I said, Doc, I said, what would you come into my place on the head of Granny Creek and castrate a 3-year-old horse for me? For what would you charge me? Well, he said, my flat rate is $12.
Just service call?
Yeah, $12. No, his flat rate for castrating was just $12. Well, I said, now, it's right smart distance over there in Clay County. I live on the head of Granny Creek, and you know where that is, yes. I said, what will you charge me? Oh, he said, about $15. I said, well, come on, I want him castrated. When he come, he give him a shot, put him to sleep. He gave him that shot, and he didn't stand on his feet no time. He just laid down. He didn't fall. He just laid down. Just got so sleepy, he just had to lay down. And he rolled him over on his side and went to work. And before he come to, he never even kicked. He didn't feel nothing. Before he come to, he had him case where he had the work done. Well,
all by himself?
I was standing there watching him. No, he didn't need no help. He just knocked him out. He never moved while he was doing the work. Completest job you ever saw. And I said to him, after he got the work done, I said, well, now, how long will he be? Knocked out all, said, just a few minutes. And I never did see just what he done. He went around to his head and messed with him just a little bit. But he just soon went kicking, and was no time till he got up. He staggered just a little bit and shook himself, and he's all right. And
just a clean cut job.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I said to him, I said, well, after he said, well, he said, that's all I can do. I pulled out my checkbook out of my shirt pocket. I said, well, Doc, I said, fill this check out and I'll sign it. And he wrote everything but the price down. He said, let's see. He said, did I give you a flat rate on that? A price what I would do this for? I said, yes, sir, you most certainly did. I said, I can tell you what you said. I said, you told me when I asked you what you charged that your flat rate was $12. And I asked you to tell me what you'd come in the head of Granny Creek, by smart distance, and do the job for. And I said, you said about $15. And I told you to come on. Now I said, that's exactly what was passed between us. Well, he rocked his head and studied. Well, he said, Mr. Cook, he said, I can't drive this distance for that. He said, I'll have to charge you $25. I said, why didn't you tell me before you done the job? And you'd went back. I'd have paid you for your mileage over here, and you'd went back home. I said, you told me, plain as you could speak, what you'd do, come in here and do that job for. Well, he said, I just can't do it for that. I said, fill the check out, and I'll sign it. Then I'm through with you. Charged me $25.
For the charge? Well, now, that's been some time.
Well, yes.
4 years ago.
Well, he's 7 this spring, right? Or was he
six?
Well,
3 years ago.
Well, 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Just 3 years ago.
Not too much difference.
No.
How much did you charge down here?
Well, when I had little man cut 3 years ago, they charged me $15 and he didn't have to drive 6 miles. And I had to help him.
And you helped him?
I helped him.
Yeah.
And the same man charged me $20 for castrating Tony
and we like never got him down.
Yeah. But that wasn't the vet. That was one of your buddies.
That was he had done a lot of veterinary work.
Yeah.
A lot of veterinary work.
Yeah.
And he knew
but that was way below the veterinary price.
It's $25 if you carry your horse to Colonial Oaks Animal Hospital.
Yeah. You carry him up there.
$25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now that's what happens.
You know, that's what it's going to come to. You're going to have to move your animals up to the vet.
When they get sick, you're going to have to take them just like you take a person to a hospital.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Miles, do you know what I'd do if I raised that horse? All I had in him was his feet. I owned the stallion, bred the mare. I raised him, and all I had in him was his feet. And if I had that to do over, and if I had known that doctor, veterinary, would have charged me that kind of a price, I'd have just got me some ropes and straps and strapped around his hind feet and sewed him and I'd done that quick myself.
Yeah.
I can go out there, not bragging, but I can go out there in your field and tie every one of your bull calves up, castrate them just as quick as a vet, and I'll guarantee you they'll do as well.
Yeah.
A hog.
Means I don't tie them. We run them in the chute down there and just walk up behind them.
Well, that's...
But we're going to follow your system from now on. It's, you know, to save me, I can't castrate them early enough. I keep putting it off. The weather, for help.
You're too busy or don't have the help or something.
Well, it's just a mental condition, Mr.
You know those rubber bands
Yes, sir.
And now that's our method.
That's a good method. That's a good method. But now, I've just got one fault to it. Truly and honestly, I'd rather, if it wasn't kind of chicken-hearted, seizing the blood, I would rather take the knife and cut them out and leave the poke there. It leaves, comes down like that. They don't look so bare in between their legs. And they'll show up a little more fat. Now that calf out there that you showed me this morning that you had castrated, now he'd been into the poke had been cut off, hadn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
And he had a nice plump little wad there of fat as big as your fist.
Yeah.
And they don't look so pulled up in between the legs. That's the only fault I've got to the bands. It's a neat way and it
safe.
Makes them, yes, and safe, and it makes them a little sick. Tell you another good way, and you can buy the masculators that they use on horses. They don't use them on horses, they're not exactly like, but they've got a big, like a pair of pinchers here, and the jaws of them is about that long. I expect you've seen them advertised in the veterinary book.
Yeah.
They just come together and you can get a hold of that bag, pull it down there and reach up there and pinch that there cord, and it kills that from where you pinch it down. And there's no bleeding, and it don't swell too bad, and it really don't make them as sick.
Yeah.
Now, the boy next to him, he raised a purebred Hereford, and his boy is 12 years old, and in the 4-H anyhow. He took this 4-H, this calf in his 4-H quadruple,
Let me get this thing open, Faye. I don't know why we're sitting here with a dark front door.
Well, I was just wondering if anybody wanted some coffee. I see you got some over there, right?
He helped himself.
I've got syrup out there.
I've got it.
They just act like we don't have anything to drink.
Where's the rest of my folks at?
We just had a good time up there in front. I was trying to find out from Mama how many of you had dimples. That sister here is. You had those pretty dimples.
Mr. Miles here asked me who Leo and all the kids took the working next, and I said the mother. Well,
and she's still she's still at it.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, when you see all that fruit and vegetables and stuff just going to ruin and nobody putting it up, it's kind of hard to sit on the porch, isn't it?
She won't do it.
Oh.
She just won't do it. I have to work, she said.
Yeah.
Mr. Miles, I'll tell you what we've got. Alice asked me if we had any apples up on the farm. If they'd be good. And I said, yes. We've got an apple tree up in the upper end of the meadow. Right at the line fence. One day it was three prongs, top broke out of it, and there was three prongs grew up, and one of them lit out, and the apple dropped across the line fence, and his brother next to him bought this farm, and we've got control of the both sides of the fence. This least prong broke over that fence into the pasture field, and the prong in my meadow broke right down the fence, and that pickup truck that Leo was brought us over here in this morning, you could pick the bed for, I'll bet you, off of them two prongs of that apple tree are laying down on the ground. The limbs just broke down and went down to the ground. I never saw a full of apple trees in my life. So,
Oh, man alive, that's something. And we haven't had enough fruit down here to have any preserves this summer.
Well, I tell you what, if the apple's far enough along, If Leo and the family comes up.
I'm going to hold you to that, Mr. Cook.
Oh, right.
I love apples.
If they're far enough along, why, we'll send some down.
Well?
Leo's family. And if he don't divide with him, well, you can let me know and I'll tell you.
They not only divide, they cook them for you.
Oh, they do.
Bring them out here to you.
Well, that's better, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's better.
That's about good. Yeah.
Well, now, Mr. Miles, that's what we practiced. That's the way the kids was raised.
Yeah.
Not bragging.
Yeah.
Just plain old country people.
Just plain old country people. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Yes,
I tell you, now, I'm not bragging. I didn't know this poem existed. Did you read that? Rest of that poem?
I didn't get a chance. My eyes started hurting. I didn't have my glasses.
The preacher that preached my brother's funeral over there in Gainesville, he was captured 5 months and 21 days in World War I, a German prisoner, and was gassed, and while he was in the hospital recuperating after they turned him loose.
Yeah.
And he got back in the United States hands. Why, he wrote this poem about his mother and about his him being over there in the war, you know. And I wish you would have heard it. Now, he only had a fifth or sixth grade education.
Is that right?
And Mr. Miles, he sat right there. He had to sue. He got gassed. That's the reason the Germans captured him. And he sat right there. He had to sue for his insurance in federal court in Charleston, West Virginia.
Oh.
And the federal judge told him when he went on the stand, said, "Now, Mr. Cook, you just tell the court and the jury your what happened to you over in when you was in Germany in the army across the water." He sat right there, I sat right down here, and he had me there for a witness. And he didn't use me, his lawyer, and didn't think it was necessary. He sat right there and told his whereabouts, whatever happened, what all happened to him, how he was captured, how long he was a prisoner, how they treated him. And that old judge, when they turned the case over to the jury, the judge instructed the jury, said, "Now look here, gentlemen, to the jury, this it ought to be an easy decision for you gentlemen to arrive at." Said this boy sat here and told his whereabouts, and the government's lawyers didn't get him tangled, not one bit, and says, "They ain't no doubt in my mind what you jurymen will deem as evidence true, for they didn't think." And he told his whereabouts, told what all happened, said, "I don't see any reason why that you fellas need to put in any time on this case. It ought to be easy to see." So they just, like coming in that door there, they just all got in here, and he wasn't in there 3 minutes till they come out and give him his the verdict in his favor. And now I read, I didn't read it all, but he wrote 3 or 4 pages. He had this poem that he wrote about our mother. We had a good mother. And he wrote it about mother when he was recuperating over the being a prisoner, you know, in the hospital.
Yeah.
And Leo heard the 2 voices read. He might relate more of it and tell you more of it than I could. I can't.
Now, you heard that this afternoon?
Yes, sir.